Looking at the food in the British Museum canteen, so much of it flown across the world, I'm struck by the fact that while we all travel more and more freely, we depend on food grown by people who cannot move, who must stay on the same piece of land. We're all increasingly aware of how vulnerable this makes farmers across the world to any change in climate, and this dependency on regular, predictable weather led the farmers of 10,000 years ago to identify gods of food and of climate who needed constant placation and prayer in order to ensure the cycle of nature and safe, good harvests. Now, most people look to governments and to campaigners like Sir Bob Geldof.
The whole psychology of food, where it stands, where it places us, is, I think, more important than almost any other aspect of our lives. Essentially, the necessity to work comes out of the necessity to eat. So this central idea of food is the fundamental in all human existence. You know, it's clear no animal can exist without being able to eat. But right now, at the beginning of the 21st century, it is clearly in the top three of priorities for the global powers to address. Upon their success or not will depend the future of huge sections of the world population. There simply isn't enough food for the world at the moment. There's several factors, but the predominant one is climate change.
So a change in climate, like the one that brought us agriculture in the first place, is now threatening our global survival. Just after the Ice Age, the growing population that the new foods allowed was, of course, not a problem, but a positive advantage. The first settled societies increased quickly in numbers, and as long as the weather allowed, they developed new, stable communities. Tomorrow, I'll be focusing on the fertility, not of the land, but of the people farming it. I'll be looking at a stone sculpture that's the first representation anywhere of a couple making love.